Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions about our worship or our life together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions. So I'll start off by making the announcement that today is Stewardship Sunday. So we've got a lot of announcements going. So if you forgot your pledge card and want to meander to the back, one of the ushers can get you one. Or just wave your hand and an usher can also bring you one. We will place those pledge cards in the offering plates during the offertory. So I'll remind you again before that takes place. And as always, if you aren't quite ready to make that commitment, you can also send those to the office at a later time. All right, so this week is Stewardship Sunday. Next week is Music Sunday. And I also want to call your attention to the very last Sunday in November. There's a little announcement about it. We are doing something very different. It's a Fusion Sunday. And we are going to be, I know, hold on to your pew. Thank goodness they're concreted into the ground. You're not going to go anywhere. But we are going to worship down in Fellowship Hall and eat at the same time. Okay, so all the pews are still there. So we are going to try something very different. We're going to eat brunch together and worship at the same time, 10 a.m. If you have any questions, just let me know. All right, two other quick announcements from me. First, everyone is welcome to join for our conversation of the book that we have been reading together, Just Mercy. We're going to be doing that in the adult lounge following worship today. And if you are a young adult between the ages of 18 and 25-ish, apparently I don't fall in the ish category, but they will be having lunch together over at Pixley's at, it's either 12:15 or 12:30, it's in your bulletin. So, all right, so let's do Church Mouse. Come tell us, what do you need?
Good morning, everyone. Two weeks ago, Linda and I were up here with Sue talking about the 40th anniversary of the Church Mouse Bazaar, which is actually next Saturday. So today we are going to celebrate the 40th anniversary. So we have cake in the fellowship hall afterwards. So please join us. We want to celebrate all of you who have helped over the last 40 years grow this into such a wonderfully huge and very special event. If you have not signed up yet and would like to help, we still need help for next week. The sign-up sheet is out on the kiosk, or the yellow sheets are in your bulletins. So please join us this afternoon, and please join us on Saturday, even if you're just coming to shop. Linda?
Okay. All right. Church Mouse Snack Bar. I have a list out on the kiosk for food donations if you're interested. And also feel free to sign up if you'd like to help in the kitchen. I've got a few senior high youth, junior high youth. I'm looking at you. Thank you.
Gordon.
Another sign-up sheet on the kiosk is for the men's breakfast next Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. We're studying in Hebrews about what it was like to live in A.D. 67.
Awesome. Eric.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I'm here on behalf of the Renewal Ministry Team, which is something you probably haven't heard too much about. But in the mail a week or two ago, you got a letter from us indicating that in 2018, Melissa will begin her renewal. And next week after worship, we will have a talk back, which is basically questions and answers that you might have about what is renewal, what is Melissa's plans, and so on. So next week after worship in the adult lounge, please join us.
Hola, buenos dias. I don't know what renewal is, but does it work for hair? Just want to invite you to an informational meeting. If you're thinking at all about joining us on our next delegation to Guatemala, it's going to be in March 11th through the 21st. We're going to have a informational meeting this Wednesday night in the adult lounge at 7 o'clock. You're all welcome to join us. Just come and find out more about it. It's about 20 years old this year is our mission in Guatemala. So please join me. Thanks.
Tracy.
With the cold temperatures, let's all just think Jamaica.
Yes.
It's always a great time to prepare to send our mission team to Jamaica. And so out in the foyer, we have a big board for those of you that would like to support Jamaica financially. There's different options that you have. You can place the donation in the particular envelopes, put those in the offering plate at any time. And then we're also doing, for the holiday, for families with any age children, even if maybe they're teens that aren't necessarily that patient about shopping, we have two babysitting dates that we're going to be doing in December, December the 3rd and December the 16th, so the sign-up is out there. And just for informational purposes, this year's mission team consists of Audrey Molina, Allison Cook, Sam Berkovich, Chris Lewis, Danny Smythe, and Mike Hasselhoff. Thank you.
This church is incredibly blessed. What an incredible place it is to live together as the body of Christ. Friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Short people have to move the microphone. Please stand and join me as Abel for the call to worship. Life that is really life comes from one we trust. Life that is really life comes from the presence we call to. Life that is really life comes from the fountain of goodness and sharing. Life that is really life comes to us now in this moment. Let us take hold of life that is really life.
And now let us join our hearts and voices together in a time of prayer. Gracious and generous God, you lavishly bestow the gift of your love. Forgive us, we pray, when we don't see or recognize your gifts for what they are, when we think we have somehow earned or are entitled to your generosity, when we take what you give and beg you for more, when we hoard our gifts and do not hear the mournful cry of those around us, when our desire for more plunges us into ruin and destruction. Teach us the ways of godliness. Grant us a spirit of contentment that may we be grateful for your provision and share the gifts you give with others. As we are blessed by you, so may we be a blessing to others. In the name of your matchless gift, our Savior, Jesus Christ. People of God, do not set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on the richness of God, who provides us everything for our enjoyment. Be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And at this time, I invite the children to come forward. That is a great smile. All right, so I'm going to ask you to remember something. It is something that for some of you happened, well, it might feel like a long time ago, and for some of you it didn't happen that long ago at all. Okay, so does anyone remember when they were born? You remember. Oh, you remember when you were born. Okay, good. So those of you who remember when you were born, tell me, when you were born, what were you born into the world with? Nothing. No iPads? No toys? No. This could get uncomfortable. Houses? No. Okay. You know, can I tell you something kind of embarrassing? You weren't even born with any clothes on. Oh, man, did she really just say that in church? I did. I had to, right? We had to know that when we, it is science, when we came into this world, we didn't have anything. And so when we begin to think about what we have right now, one of the ways we begin to think about how it is that we share love with God and with others is to remember that nothing we have today, nothing, is ours. This is really hard for adults to think about too, right? Because we sometimes think that our toys are ours, our clothes are ours, our cars, our houses, stuff that we have, we feel like it belongs to us. But in fact, the Bible teaches us over and over and over that everything in this world, our stuff, but also stories and songs, creativity and good ideas, science and math. I like science and math. How about you guys? Yeah? Sometimes. Those are all gifts of God, and God shares these with us, asking that we take very good care of all that God has given us, and that we do that by showing one another in love how we do that. So I think it's easy sometimes for us to think maybe about toys, because do you guys have toys? 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 Good. All right. So one of the ways that we can show how we take good care of what belongs to God is by sharing it with other people. Is that sometimes kind of hard to do? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that these toys belong to God, that everything belongs to God, and that we ask for God's help to learn how to share it together. And so when we're talking about Stewardship Sunday today, that's the message. That we as kids and we as grown-ups learn how to do together, how to share what God has given us. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help us to learn how to share. We thank you for all you have given us. Amen. You guys are great today. Such good jobs praying. Okay, so you guys have Sunday school, all right? So have fun. You can go there now. Yes, my friend, you had a question? Tell me.
The first reading of the word this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. Other ancient authorities read their own prophets, or completely forever. Brothers lack proclaiming how to take a wife for himself, or about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Our second reading for today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, people of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made. The good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed, the only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be all honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And for those who in the present ages are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Take hold of the life that really is life. So 2 Sundays ago now, we celebrated the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And we hope you had as much fun as Katie and I did planning and exploring the idea that about every 500 years or so, the church goes into a pretty significant time of having an identity crisis. Phyllis Tickle is the one who uses that analogy of the 500-year rummage sale to describe how we clean house and decide what we're going to let go of and what we're going to keep to make room for new things. And at the end of the sermon, Katie and I asked you to respond to the question, what does the church need to let go of today? Right? We were pretty intentionally vague about the question. And we didn't give you much time or space, really, to overthink. Because on a post-it note, you provided a response a la Martin Luther style and added them to the set of doors that we had here at the front of the sanctuary. The responses were fascinating. So one person, after reading all of the comments that were posted following worship, said, "Wow, those responses are as divided as our nation." And upon closer reading, she was right. When asked what we feel the church, we didn't know whether you all responded thinking about GPC or the larger church, what we needed to let go of, the responses included fear of change and thinking we need to change. You responded that the church needs to let go of politics from the pulpit and avoiding difficult conversations about politics and peace and justice because we're afraid of losing members. And there were multiple responses there. But some of the responses were not quite as divisive. They were more unifying. We said that the church needs to let go of underestimating children, ignoring the importance of science, and assuming that being white and heterosexual is normal. We also said that the church needs to let go of outdated ideas of why we think people come to church. We need to let go of trying to please everyone. We need to let go of believing the good old days were as good as we remember. Not that we necessarily needed proof that the church is changing, but these responses certainly highlighted that these changes are happening in the church, and they are at the same time both exciting and opening up new opportunities, and also scary and unsettling. Because for the first time in our lifetime, not the lifetime of the church or the Christian faith, but we aren't really quite sure what is next. So our church, GPC, was organized back in 1828 in a tavern, of course, on Buffalo Road. And the First Presbyterian Church of Gates grew and thrived in a time when mainline Protestant churches were a natural part of people's lives in this country. People went to their local church, oftentimes with extended family that were tied into that community. Remember, at that time, women didn't work. They were able to volunteer and give their time. And men felt that attending church was a way to expand their professional networks and advance their careers. It was a time when Sundays were sacred, and going to church was just what people did. It was the place to get together with friends. It was the place where people plugged in, volunteered, served and gave back to their community. Things are a lot different now, right? Our culture is more transient. It's a lot of turnover in churches. Give thanks for the car, but people now, because of that, can drive further distances and often do if they find a church that really connects with who they are. Church membership is widespread, and it's not just about one community or ethnic identity, or even family anymore. And I've heard more than one occasion talking about how Sundays are no longer sacred, right? Stores are open, there's sports practices, activities, and people work. Let me tell you, it's always easy to point fingers and blame young people these days. I'm not making eye contact. But I know just how much grandparents and great-grandparents love cheering on those little ones just as much as the parents do, which is why shaming people about why they do or don't come to church isn't the message that we want to send about why people would be part of a church today. The struggles people have to make commitments are just part of the cultural waters we are swimming in. And as our culture and society changes, a lot of stress has been placed on the life of the church as an institution because it just can't be who we were when the world was more church-friendly. I know people, especially people who are working and raising families, caring for aging relatives, struggle to be here on a Sunday morning or any day of the week, and they lack the time, the energy to be involved in the same way with the people who came before us. Folks feel overwhelmed. We can ignore it, but we know that the problem isn't really getting any better. There's a lot of struggles with this time balance. And add that on top of this past year where people are just feeling exhausted and not wanting to go anywhere near a place that talks about anything that doesn't agree with their own social or political values. This whole notion of being church can feel discouraging. So not quite what you were expecting for a stewardship sermon this morning. But friends, I don't have easy answers. There's not a manual or a Google search that tells us where to go next. Part of living on this side of the resurrection and professing a belief in God who conquers death, darkness, and despair is trusting that there's hope. Part of our Christian faith means believing that God is working out the details, that something new and powerful and grace-filled is coming. There is plenty that we as the church are in process of discerning what we need to let go of, as we indicated with those post-it notes. But there is still so much that we have to hold on to. Take hold of life that really is life. The writer of this letter to Timothy reminds him. And for all intents and purposes, the writer pens this section of the letter to a very young pastor with warnings about greed and worshiping material wealth and the dangers of loving money. It's a little bit more like a stewardship sermon. But listen, folks, it's not about the money. It's never really about the money. These verses are about a church struggling to find their bearings in a changing world and what it means for them to take hold of what is important, to take hold of the life that really is life. And I think this message of getting back to the basics of faith, of focusing on godly traits, and of being an advocate for God's church is completely relevant to where we are today. You see, the church, or at least the world it exists in, might be changing, but our faith, it isn't going anywhere. In fact, these are the moments when I think we need it now more than ever. Like right now, as we gather here today, 1 week after a mass shooting in a church, wondering if church is a safe space to be, and can the church even make a meaningful impact on changing our violent and divisive culture? I strongly believe that our church GPC is changing people's lives. I believe that in the midst of personal struggles and national and global unrest, this church can be not only a safe space for individuals and families to find refuge and seek wisdom and feel hope, but we can also model what it means to rise above the divisions tearing at our nation and sit down together and talk about what matters. We can preach a truthful message of love and light and second chances that have stood the test of time. We can model living our everyday life that is working towards feeding the hungry and practicing peace and working for justice. This church, whatever it needs to look like in our generation and for the next 500 years, is worth taking hold of. And I think we need to give a nod to this scripture and go back to those basics for a little while. We need to remember why we're here in the first place. Not only inviting God into our midst, but also reflecting back out God in who we are and in what we do. We need to have those honest conversations about what the church looks like when we intentionally pursue righteousness and godliness, faith and love, endurance and gentleness in a way that is meaningful, relevant, and accessible, not only to us, but this larger community and world in which we live. Think about how freeing that is. Think about what we might be able to do, both as individuals and as the church community, if we really take hold of the faith that has brought us this far. For a church that is changing people's lives, think about what our church and community might look like for living out God's call for us. And so this means that we need to come together, all of us, from the people who have been in this church their whole entire lives to the people who just walked in these doors on this Sunday for the first time. All of us, from those who have always identified as Christian to those for whom this is all very new. All of us, from those who are feeling great peace and hope to those who are struggling and discouraged. All of us have to come together, take hold of the gift of faith, and live life that really is the life that God has given us. I also don't necessarily know what that next step is, but I do know that I'm excited about the future here at GPC. For my journey as a Christian, for our journey as the church, and our journey as part of the body of Christ, because for 2,000 years, Christians have tackled really difficult issues, fought hard for this faith, and proven time and time again that God's love always wins. And it's no different here today. So I invite you not only to focus what we need to let go of, but to take hold of a life that really is life. And then we will be advocates for our church and the work we are doing in this community. We will bear witness to the truths we learn and the questions that we struggle with. Then we will love and support one another on each other's journeys. And we will support this church with our time and our gifts and financial resources as we find our world, our way in a world that, oh goodness, is changing so much. Friends, in our taking hold of life that really is life. We truly will live into the gifts of faith God has given to us. This day, now, and always. Alleluia. Amen. I know it's been a few weeks since we've done this, so let's give it a try, giving voice to our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern, aloud together. If you would like to share a prayer, raise your hand, an usher will bring a microphone. Let us know who you are and how we can be together in prayer.
Hannah Walker, my neighbor that takes help, takes care of and done things for me. He just had surgery on his kidney to have a tumor off, and I really want him to be better.
Neighbor Hannah. Al. Prayers for Al. Back
there. Linda Sidori, I have two close people that I love that are dealing with very serious cancer issues, so I ask for prayers for them.
Prayers for those in your life, Linda, who are facing cancer. Not seeing any other hands.
prayers this morning from our children. I'm not sure if this is a joy or concern, but they ask for prayers for snow. I think it's a prayer of joy. Prayers for birthday parties, for a lost tooth, for Daddy who came for a visit, for the Polar Express and new socks, amen to that, for Star Wars Lego advent calendars, for seeing baby cousins, for snowball fights, prayers for healing. Prayers of joy for spending time with cousins, prayers for first birthdays, prayers of joy for cooking with mom. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Great and gentle God, giver of all life and refuge, strength, light of the world, as the days before us continue toward ever-increasing darkness and cold, make us mindful of your light and warmth. Help us to see signs of your presence. Help us to read those signs, O God, that are more difficult to see. Those inner turmoils that lead to greater trust in you. Disturbances that keep nudging us to move on. The tears of a child or the struggle to speak of an aging adult. Those signs that cause us to slow down and to get on our knees, that so we can listen more intently to you. Merciful God, the world around us groans with disruption and need. And our groans this morning mingle with those of our brothers and sisters in Sutherland Springs, Texas. We hurt with the body, the part of the body devastated there in Texas. Oh God, we reel with the reality that those who went to worship this morning were met with empty pews and seats and lives. God, help the congregation at First Baptist to know that the whole communion of saints embraces them and will not leave them alone in the days and the months and the years ahead. O Holy One, on this day, we also remember our veterans of all wars. We thank you for their service for the sake of freedom, and we cry out to you, wishing there was no need for soldiers anywhere. So we pray for those who have lost their lives and for their families who remain. We pray for those who continue to live with haunting memories. For those with injuries and no easy access to adequate health care. We ask for agencies to move and advocates to speak. And for ourselves, dear Lord, we ask for forgiveness because we have taken these ones who fight on our behalf for granted. You know our hearts, O God, the painful memories, the joyful thanksgivings, the praises, the people for whom we worry, and the places in the world that seem so in need of the miracle of peace. So in this next moment of silence, O God, hear us as we speak from our hearts. We pray all of this, O God, holding fast to the hope that you are our sovereign God, creator of the universe and redeemer of all sin, sustainer of our lives when we don't know what or if we believe. And in the name of your Son, our Lord, we now offer the prayer he taught us to say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Friends, on this Stewardship Sunday, we give thanks and we celebrate all the ways in which God has entrusted us, not only with financial resources, but with time, with energy, and with gifts. So as we receive this morning offering, I would invite you to place your pledge card in the offering plate, but I would also ask that you just offer a prayer of thanksgiving for whatever it is in your life that God has blessed you with joy. Take hold of this life that really is life. Let us celebrate this morning as we receive the offering.
Father, please accept these gifts that we bring to you this morning, and we pray that we will use them in ways that bring others to know you and ways that help people in need. We ask this all in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
And friends, we go out into the world confident, assured of the grace that God has shared with each and every one of us, the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage, friends, it takes to get up each and every day and live this life of faith again. Alleluia. Amen.